This is Hamp College, episode 132, for January 2nd, 2026. Hamp College is brought to you by ICOM. The season is all about connection, and ICOM keeps that spirit shining with amateur radios that deliver clarity, reliability, and reach. I'm Professor Thomas.
And I'm Dean Martin.
And tonight's going to be doubly exciting. And why is that?
Because we have a double-decker, we got a double dose of questions and answers tonight.
We got to looking at when the current technician pool expires. We decided we had to double up on the questions or we're not going to make it in time to take the test.
Put your thinking caps on. Go ahead and get your cup of coffee before we get started.
Yeah.
We might be here for a little bit longer than usual.
about twice, maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
The questions go pretty fast.
Yeah, these are.
This is all the stuff we all, the chit-chat we still do in between takes the time.
Yeah. I think, yeah, these will go reasonably quick. I don't know if there's a lot of splaining we can do about them.
Well, there's a double chance you're going to hear some buzzer action tonight since we're doing a double dose of questions.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to hear any buzzers. I didn't see any questions that mentioned it.
They mentioned buzzers?
You were right.
Okay. Yeah. Do we talk about what we did last month?
What did we do last month?
Last month actually was pretty easy. Once we got it figured out, it was about Ohm's Law. Series and parallel circuits, too, but mostly a lot of Ohm's Law stuff in there.
Yep. Now, this month we're going to talk about, well, two different subjects. The first group of questions are going to be fixed and variable resistors, capacitors, inductors, fuses, switches, and batteries. What's the other topic?
Semiconductors, basic principles and applications of solid-state devices, diodes, and transistors.
Yep.
Now, we might get some buzzer action on the transistors. I haven't done much with that for those. I haven't actually never done a project with one.
You're not going to miss any of these. That's how confident I am.
What electrical component opposes the flow of current in a DC circuit? A, inductor.
B, resistor.
C, inverter.
Or D, transformer. What electrical component opposes the flow of current in a DC circuit? You know, this one's, I know what the answer is. But.
Pretty obvious.
Yeah. It's not an inductor. Those are really only effective at AC frequencies. Not so much DC, other than there might be a little resistance in the coil of an inductor. Yep.
That would do it then.
That would. Yep. An inverter. No. It's not an inverter. A transformer. And this is one that kind of was strange that they put that in there to me. I mean, a transformer really doesn't do anything with DC current. It won't pass it. So does that mean it opposes it?
Depends on how you look at it.
Well,
I guess it could.
That's not what they're looking for.
I don't think that's the answer they're wanting.
What they're wanting is B, resistor. Chat room? Yeah, they're saying B.
And they got it.
And there's the two schematic symbols for resistor. The one on the left is the one we're used to here. The one right to the right of it, the little square box with the tabs on it. You'll see that more on newer schematics.
Huh.
I don't know if that was a European thing or where that came from.
Don't think I've seen it drawn like that before that I recall.
If you use any of these circuit design programs, most of them are going to draw it like that.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Then you got pictures of them over there to the side.
Yep. Pictures, just as a bonus there.
That's a nice bonus.
Yep. And we've got all kinds there. We've got carbon, and we've got ceramic as well, wire-wound types. I don't have a
surface mount one in there, you know, the little tiny ones.
Well, the screen's too small for that.
And they look the same as the surface mount capacitors, too.
They actually look a lot more like the other drawing over there.
Yeah. So, anyway, resistor. Got one for you. What type of component is often used to adjust volume control? A, a fixed resistor.
B, power resistor.
C, a potentiometer.
Or D, a transformer. What type of component is often used as an adjustable volume control? It's not going to be D, transformer. It's not going to be a fixed resistor because it says adjustable. Power resistor, no way. It's going to be a potentiometer. I know that because I used to do some software for radio stations, and we've discussed this in the past. So potentiometer C is going to be my final answer.
I'll agree
it's
with
basically
you.
Basically a variable resistor.
Yep. Chat room's agreeing with you. And it is, yeah, basically a variable resistor. If you look at the schematic symbol, that's it. It is a resistor with a tap that you can move back and forth. A potentiometer on the right-hand side. Today, they could look like a lot of different things. But
yeah, that's kind of what I'm used to seeing.
Yeah. Those are very similar to what the ones they sold at Radio Shack, except they usually had a longer shaft. You'd cut them off to whatever length you wanted.
Speaking of Radio Shack, I like your shirt.
Oh, thank you. This was a Christmas present. WSQK, which apparently is an AM station, but has an FM frequency.
Go figure that one out.
I don't know.
I hope that...
The Squawk.
Yeah. Stranger Things fame.
Yeah.
Cool.
That, we just finished watching that.
Yeah, we did too. Watch it yesterday.
Yep. Interesting, that big, well, I think we talked about it before, but that big transmitter behind them, the Continental, is a 50 kilowatt AM transmitter. I've got one just like it, except it's been pilfered and looks really bad because it's been sitting out in the swamp for 20 years. But we should do an episode in front of it.
I'm game for that.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
It doesn't have any lights in it anymore.
Yeah. You got the snakes. You got the snakes in it?
We got snakes in a transmitter. I told you that story. I know. Uh-huh. Yeah. I opened
somebody
it up
get
one
these
day.
Snakes out of this transmitter.
Yeah. There's a cottonmouth moccasin sitting in it looking at me. So I pushed the door slowly back to.
Just left him?
Left him. Yep.
Yeah, I think we'll find someplace else to do it. Maybe we could just act like we did.
It's going to be kind
of cold.
Take
a picture
cold.
Of it when you go, and we'll put it on the green screen.
Okay. I may have one. I don't know. I'll have to look around and see.
What electrical parameter is controlled by a potentiometer? A, inductance.
B, resistance.
C, capacitance.
Or D, field strength. What electrical parameter is controlled by a potentiometer?
I think we kind of gave this one away a while ago on the last one.
I think we probably did. It's not inductance. It's not capacitance. It's B, resistance, because it's a variable resistor. And you can control it. So that's what it is. It's B.
So that's the answer. Just yep. Plain and simple.
Chat room. They're getting all these right tonight.
Now, these are pretty straightforward and easy.
Yeah.
If you had any electronic experience at all.
And they're fun little questions.
Of course, a lot of people don't that are taking this test.
Right.
When I first took mine, I had no idea about a lot of this stuff.
Yeah.
But it's a good opportunity to learn.
What electrical component stores energy in an electric field? Is it A, a varistor?
B, capacitor?
C, inductor?
Or D, a diode. A varistor. I think that means a variable resistor.
Sort of, yeah.
So I don't think that's it. It's not a diode either. Not from my understanding of a diode. Could be an inductor or a capacitor, but they both store energy, but the method is different. I think it's going to be, let's see, an electric field. I'm pretty sure that's going to be B, capacitor. So I think inductor, I'm not going to say it.
Don't say it yet, because that's probably going to be one of the questions coming up. But
I think that's right anyway.
You're right.
Sure.
It's B. At least I think it is. Although we got some C's in there, maybe we better look at it again. Trick question. You're right. Look at that.
What type of electrical component consists of conductive surfaces separated by an insulator? I think you might know the answer to this one. A, resistor.
B, potentiometer.
C, oscillator.
Or D, a capacitor. What type of electrical component consists of conductive surfaces separated by an insulator? Sort of like metal plates not quite touching because they're insulated from each other. Well, that's not a resistor, and it's not a potentiometer because we know that's a variable resistor. It's not an oscillator. It's a capacitor. D. Chatroom saying D.
Yep.
All right, I got a tough one for you here.
I think I know the answer to this one because it's the other one. Go ahead.
What type of electrical component stores energy in a magnetic field? Is it A, a varistor?
B, capacitor.
C, an inductor.
Or D, diode? Type of electrical component stores energy in a magnetic field. Well, it's not a varistor, and we ruled out capacitor because that was in an electric field. And I think we determined that a diode does not store energy, so it's going to be an inductor. C. That's my deduction for induction. Something like that.
Yeah. Well, the chat room and I will agree with you on that one.
I was trying to be witty, but it didn't work.
It worked.
Somewhat.
Worked good enough. Oh, look. There are some sample inductors there.
Yeah, I just got some stuff to make some of those.
Yeah? When are you going to make them now that you're a retired guy?
Anytime I feel like it.
Okay. That's a good answer and one to keep handy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, whenever I feel like it.
Yeah.
What electrical component is typically constructed as a coil of wire? A, a switch.
B, a capacitor.
C, a diode.
Or D, an inductor. What electrical component is typically constructed of a coil of wire? Seems somewhat familiar there. It's not a switch. Not a capacitor, because we know that's two metal plates that are separated with a dielectric. It's not a diode. It's an inductor. D. Chat room saying D. That's what I'm saying. And it is. Easy one there. Almost a giveaway. They had the answer right there on the page. What is the function of a single-pole double-throw switch? A single circuit is opened or closed.
B, two circuits are opened or closed.
C, a single circuit is switched between one of two other circuits.
Or D, two circuits are switched between one of two other circuits. The purpose of a SPDT, which is single-pole double-throw switch. Single circuits open or closed. That's not it. Two circuits are opened or closed. C, single circuit is switched between one of two other circuits. I'm going with C, Charlie, there. Single circuit is switched between one or two other circuits. So single pole, basically just... That's single pole, double throw. Yeah, that's what I'm going with.
Okay. I'm agreeing with you. Chat room, they're a little bit mixed on it.
I'm trying to think of an example, like a three-way light switch kind of.
There you go.
And a two-speed motor.
I kind of, when I see SPDT, I've been looking at that for decades. I automatically say single pole, double throw. I don't say SPDT, and that, you know, I probably should have.
Yeah, I just said it because I wasn't sure people knew what it means.
Well, then that's good you did, because I didn't say what they had written. And that's it, the schematic symbol for a single pole double throw. You can see there is one pole that can be switched to two different positions. And there's an example switch on the right-hand side.
Kind of like a double throw.
Yep, that one has single poles, but it can be thrown two different ways. If it was a double pole double throw, it had six legs on it instead of three.
And what's the use of a switch like that?
Just
an example.
Well, like you said, what do they call it, a three-way or two-way light switch?
Yeah, or a bright or dim switch or anything that's a high speed or low speed for a motor control, possibly.
Could be. Or if you don't have a single pole single throw, you could just use one of those and not hook up one of the legs.
Yeah, I've done that before.
Yeah, me too.
What electrical component is used to protect other circuit components from current overloads? A, a fuse.
B, a thyrotron.
C, varactor.
Or D, all these choices are correct. What electrical component is used to protect other circuit components from current overloads? Well, it's not all of these choices. It's not a varactor. I'm surprised they even use the word thyrotron on there.
I don't even know what that is.
It's a specific type of tube that you won't hardly ever see anymore. Used typically in high voltage power supplies. But the answer is a fuse. Everybody's saying a fuse.
Yeah.
And there, for your viewing pleasure, is some fuse schematic symbols. Which of the following battery chemistries is rechargeable? A, a nickel metal hydride.
B, lithium ion.
C, lead acid.
Or D, all these choices are correct.
And this is almost a giveaway for a fellow like you that is
this
a battery guy.
Yeah, I'm kind of a little bit of a battery nut anyway, so. We're just following battery chemistries are rechargeable. Nickel metal hydride. I know good and well those are because I use them daily. Lithium ion. Actually, I use some of those daily as well. Lead acid. I don't use too many of those anymore, but I do have some. So I'm going with D. All these choices are correct. Actually, I do use it in my vehicle, I guess.
That's what I was wondering, if you replaced it with a lead acid. Oh, no, it is a lead acid. Excuse me, with a lithium ion.
No, but I'd like to.
Yeah.
Not that easy, though.
They're saying D in the chat room. I'm going to agree with you. I think all those are rechargeable.
Which of the following battery chemistries is not rechargeable? A, nickel cadmium.
B, carbon zinc.
C, lead acid.
Or D, lithium ion. All right, we know nickel cadmium is a rechargeable battery. They used to be really popular in handy talkies.
Yes, but they got that memory problem.
Yep.
They're kind of a hassle. I'm glad they're not used much anymore.
Yep. C, lead acid batteries, that's like a battery in your truck. D, lithium ion, well, that's probably the most popular rechargeable battery now if you don't count cars. Your cell phone's got it. Just about every little electronic thing you buy that's rechargeable has those these days. But B, carbon zinc, that's what the old flashlight batteries, the
Little Evereddies with the red, with the cat going through the thing on the little nine or whatever it was.
Yep. Or the old Rayovac or Burgess, any number of them. Just the typical old batteries were carbon zinc. You couldn't recharge them. There were some supposed rechargers sold for that.
I had one.
It didn't really work, did it?
It put some in it, but it didn't. It never got full.
No.
And matter of fact, it only did it a few times, and it was history.
Yeah.
So I don't recommend it if you find one at a ham fest or something. Don't just stay away from it. I don't think they're very safe. You probably can't buy them anymore.
No, I doubt it. B. Chat room saying B. So,
you know, if there's a battery charger, I was going to be in for it.
I know. He's like a battery meister over here. When I want to know something about batteries, that's who I go to. Carbon zinc.
Carbon zinc.
And I think we've got one more question in this particular group here tonight.
Really? In the first half?
In the first half.
Yeah. Wow.
What type of switch is represented by component 3 in figure T2? And that is figure T2 there. A, a single pole, single throw switch.
B, single pole, double throw.
Or D, double pole, double throw.
Component 3, that's a single pole, single throw switch right there.
I'm going to agree with you.
It's only got one place, one position for it to go. It's either open or closed.
Right.
So that's single pole, single throw for sure. Okay, A. Yeah, I was right. Single pole, single throw.
That's what they're saying over in the chat room. I'll agree with you. Number A. And that's the first half of the questions for tonight.
That went a lot faster than I thought it was going to. That was quite a few questions, too. That was a whole show's worth before from before.
Yeah. And we've got about that many more to go.
That much? The fun's only half done, so don't go anywhere.
The season is all about connection, and ICOM keeps that spirit shining with amateur radios that deliver clarity, reliability, and reach. Every call travels further, every friendship feels closer, and the airways become a place where the season's warmth never fades. Whether you're catching up with familiar voices or discovering new ones, ICOM keeps every signal bright. Happy New Year from ICOM. The IC7300 MK2 builds upon everything operators loved about the original IC7300, elevating it to a sharper, cleaner, and more capable HF experience. Its improved RMDR, lower phase noise, enhanced cooling, and expanded IO options make it the next level performer for serious operators who want crystal clear reception, rock solid transmit quality, and modern conveniences that fit today's operating styles. The result is an HF 50 MHz transceiver that feels familiar yet unmistakably evolved. Improved RMDR and phase noise, lower heat generation and reduced power consumption, HDMI output for external displays, USB Type-C with dual COM ports, built-in CW decoder and audio peak filter, and RX antenna in and out connectors. The ID52A Plus is ICOM's most advanced handheld for operators who want powerful digital capability, wideband flexibility, and a modern interface that brings the airways to life. With expanded D-Star performance, an upgraded 2.3-inch color display, enhanced Bluetooth functions, and simultaneous dual-band monitoring, the ID52A Plus delivers a richer, more connected experience wherever you go. It's the next evolution of handheld communications, compact, capable, and unmistakably ICOM. Heard it, worked it, logged it. For more information about ICOM's amateur radios and to locate a dealer, please visit icomamerica.com/amateur today.
I wore this shirt quite a bit. I'm about ready to give it away. You want to give the shirt away?
Right off your back?
Yeah. Here.
No, never mind. Nobody's ready for that.
I'm not ready for it either. But
what if somebody wanted one?
Oh, it's pretty easy. All you got to do is enter send your name in for the drawing, the giveaway. We'll give away one a month on Ham College, and all you got to do is send your email to hamcollege@amateurlogic.tv. Matter of fact, we've got a drawing already done for tonight, and the list is cleared out, so go ahead and send yours in now so you don't forget about it. hamcollege@amateurlogic.tv. You don't need to send anything but your name. You need a name and email address. That's it.
And we got plenty more shirts, and let's face it, who doesn't need another shirt?
That's what I always say.
Especially a ham swag shirt like an icon.
It's a cool shirt. Yeah. I like it. It's one of my favorite ham shirts.
I know one fella who's going to be getting one right away.
Who might that be?
Well, he actually sent us a little text in the email here. All you really got to do is have an email address and a name. But we like it when you guys send us a little message in there as well. Tonight's lucky winner is KD0UUU.
Okay.
If you will, look him up while I'm talking here, because I don't have his name on here. But we know he's got one. DKD0UUU, been a long-time listener to your show, and episode 131 was a walk down memory lane, and I agree. I hate using E for volts. I rewrite the formula as V equals I times R, and P equals I times V. I remember it as VIR like virus, and PIV like peak inverse voltage. For some reason, that's always been easier for me to remember, instead of EIR and PIE. Keep up the great work and have a blessed Christmas and joy-filled New Year. 73KD0UUU. 99.
Tim.
Tim. Well, thanks, Tim. That was a mighty nice message there. And ICOM will be in touch with you shortly to get your sizing and shipping details, and I'll get one right out to you.
Awesome. So if your name didn't get drawn, if your name wasn't Tim, if your name isn't Tim still, and you would like to get entered to get the shirt, maybe possibly get the shirt next month, go ahead and send your entry in.
Yep.
Doesn't cost anything. All you have to gain is to possibly win some cool swag.
That's true.
Which is true about forward voltage drop in a diode? A, is lower in some diode types than in others.
B, it is proportional to peak inverse voltage. Hey, that was just in the email there.
That was handy.
Yeah.
C, it indicates that the diode is defective.
Or D, it has no impact on the voltage delivered to the load. Which is true about forward voltage drop in a diode? D, it has no impact. No, it does have an impact. If the voltage is dropping, that would be an impact. C, it indicates that the diode is defective. No, because all diodes are going to have a little voltage drop. B, it is proportional to peak inverse voltage. Don't think so, but I know A, it is lower in some diode types than it is in others. That's why you might choose particular diodes for particular purposes, depending on the amount of forward voltage drop you're going to get. So I'm going to say A. What's the chat room saying?
A.
Okay. What are you saying?
A. A.
A.
Also, I see Terry in there. It looks like he got a new call sign.
Yeah, he's an M8 now. Is that a full-time M8, or Is that a temporary thing? I thought y'all did the M's one time on a temporary basis for some special event. Didn't they do one?
I don't know. I don't know.
A few years back. What electrical component allows current to flow in only one direction? A, a resistor.
B, a fuse.
C, a diode.
Or D, a driven element. Well, a driven element is part of an antenna. And it can receive as well. So I'm just, resistor is not directional. Not polarized. A fuse is not polarized. And C, a diode. That does oppose current flowing in one direction.
So what do you say the answer is?
C, diode.
So what's the chat room saying? And it is. And an interesting fact there, a lot of times if somebody's constructing a circuit and they need the voltage to be slightly lower, well, let's say you got a 5-volt battery and you need 4.5 volts into the circuit that you're working with. You could put a resistor in there to drop the voltage, or you could use a diode and it'd do the same thing. It's going to drop, you know, like half a volt or something in that neighborhood, and you could use it to drop that 5 volts down to 4.5. Or
would there be a benefit to doing that over the resistor?
Well, it would serve two purposes. One is it would drop the voltage for you. The other, it'd be protected so you couldn't, you know, put reverse voltage into it and damage the circuit. And as far as the heat generated, I'm not sure.
Yes, I was about to ask about.
Yeah. I'm thinking there's probably not a lot of difference in that, but.
I guess a half a volt.
Yeah.
Generated is going to be a half a volt dissipated. Yeah.
Regardless of who's doing the dissipating.
Is that typical? What one would do, half a volt-ish?
Yeah, it's, you know, different types of diodes will have different amounts, but they're all around that. Some might be like 0.4 volts, some might be 0.7. Just depends on the type of material it's made out of.
Which of these components can be used as an electronic switch? A, varistor.
B, a potentiometer.
C, transistor.
Or D, a thermistor.
Thermistor. Is that like a bimetal switch type thing?
No, it's like a resistor that changes resistance with temperature.
Oh, okay.
Thermal. So that would be a resistor. That wouldn't really act like a switch. A varistor wouldn't really act like a switch either. That's going to be varying the resistance. Potentiometer, we already know that's a variable resistor. A transistor, though, you can turn it on and off, depending on how much bias voltage you put on it. So, yeah, that could be used as an electronic switch, I think. Mostly C in the chat room over there. And it is. And there is an NPN and a PNP transistor symbol right there. Right there.
The only difference is the direction the arrow is pointing.
Yep. The one on the left is NPN. And the way I remember it is never pointing in. If it's pointed out, that's an NPN. So the other one would have to be a PNP because it's pointed in. Which of the following components can consist of three regions of semiconductor material? A, alternator.
B, transistor.
C, a triode.
Or D, a pentagrid converter. That sounds pretty important. Which of the following components can consist of three regions of semiconductor material? It's not an alternator. That's in your car. Probably are three kind of semiconductor regions in there at least, but I don't. Transistor, triode. I don't know what a triode or a pentagrid converter are, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be a transistor because there's three leads to a transistor. B, transistors are going to be my best guess.
Okay. And I don't have any pictures or diagrams there, and I think we're probably going to ask this question again in a different way. So when you see it, though, you'll recognize it.
Okay. I'm going to trust you on that. We'll see.
Okay.
What type of transistor has a gate, drain, and a source? A, a varistor.
B, field effect.
C, Tesla effect.
D, bipolar junction. Okay, what type of transistor has a gate, drain, and source? Well, a varistor is not a transistor, so we can rule it out. C, Tesla effect. I've never heard of that. I don't think it's a real type of transistor, so I'm going to rule that out. A bipolar junction transistor. That is a type of transistor, very common, but it does not have a gate, drain, and source. However, a field effect transistor, an FET, does have a gate, drain, and source, so I'm going to say it is B.
Like a MOSFET?
Like a MOSFET. A JFET, any kind of FET. That's what they're saying in the chat room. Field effect transistor. What's one good property of a field effect transistor? That makes them used quite frequently. I'm sure there's more than one thing about them. But one of the things that I remember about it is it has a real high impedance. So if you wanted to emulate a tube circuit, you could do it easier or simpler with a field effect transistor than you could, say, a bipolar junction transistor because of the high impedance of the FET is similar to the high impedance that a tube would have. So there's that.
Interesting.
How is the cathode lead of a semiconductor diode often marked on the package? A, with the word cathode.
B, with a stripe.
C, with the letter C.
D, with the letter K. Diode. Okay. It's going to be B with a stripe. I know they have a stripe on around the end of one side or the other. So yeah. I don't remember any words or letters on there, but I do remember a stripe.
That's what the chat room's saying. I'm going to agree with them. And it is. Over on that side, on your side of the table, is a anode. Over here is a cathode. And there's
you did
a
that
stripe.
On purpose, didn't you?
Yeah, but I got it backwards. I should have done the cathode thing first. But there's your stripe.
What causes a light-emitting diode or an LED to emit light? A, forward current.
B, reverse current.
C, capacitively coupled RF signal.
Or D, inductively coupled RF signal. What causes a light-emitting diode to emit light? Well, as far as the capacitive or inductive coupled RF signal, I mean, typically, no. Now, whether or not you could strong arm one into it by putting it next to a real high RF field, I don't know, but that's not going to be the answer. Reverse current. Well, if it's a diode, current's not going to flow in reverse, and it will have to have some current flowing through it to light up. So I'm going to say it's A, the forward current. When you forward bias a diode, it's going to, or the LED, it's going to emit light.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what they're saying.
I would agree with that.
Oh, yeah, and there is one one who agrees with me in there. You could light one with RF. If you had enough RF, I think you could. I've seen a lot of things lit with RF before, but not typically around the ham shack so much. Forward current.
Yeah, I've seen fluorescent tubes lit like that.
Yeah. And Tom mentioned, you may see K on some test equipment, like component testers, indicating that's like the cathode. They'll use K instead. What does the abbreviation FET stand for? A, frequency emissive transmitter.
B, fast electron transistor.
C, free electron transmitter.
Or D, field effect transistor. FET. Well, we discussed this a few moments ago, so I think I'm just going to go straight for the answer on this one. And I'm thinking it's going to be D, field effect transistor.
It's what everybody's thinking in the chat room.
Are they thinking right?
I believe they are.
Figure. They yep. usually are. They're pretty smart in there.
FET, field effect transistor.
What are the names for the electrodes of a diode? A, plus and minus.
B, source and drain.
C, anode and cathode.
Or D, gate and base. What are the names of the electrodes of a diode?
I think we had that one a while ago. We had a little giveaway also.
Yep. So the electrodes of a diode would be the two leads coming out of it. One could be plus and minus, but that's not the names of them. D, gate and base. No, it's taking those names go to some other devices. Not the same devices even. B, source and drain. No, those are from an FET. C, anode and cathode. That's my answer. It's everybody's answer. Anode and cathode. Which of the following can provide power gain? A, a transformer.
B, a transistor.
C, a reactor.
Or D, a resistor. Provide power gain. It's not a resistor. It's not a reactor. Pretty sure it's going to be B, a transistor, because everything else has been transistor.
Yeah.
That was close.
That was.
What is the term that describes a device's ability to amplify a signal? A, gain.
B, forward resistance.
C, forward voltage drop.
Or D, on resistance. What is the term that describes a device's ability to amplify a signal? Well, forward resistance, I'm not sure what that is. Forward voltage drop. I mean, the voltage dropping, it's not going to be amplifying. On resistance. Now, I mean, it's a gain.
That's the only thing that even makes any sense up there.
Yep. It's a gain. What are the names of electrodes of a bipolar junction transistor?
Uh-oh.
A, signal, bias, power.
B, emitter, base, collector.
C, input, output, supply.
Or D, pole one, pole two, and output. I really wish it was D, but I don't think that's it. That's funny. Signal, base, and power? I don't think so. Emitter, base, and collector. Or input, output, supply. Which is kind of the same thing as emitter, base, and collector. I'm going to go with B, emitter, base, and collector.
Okay. I'll agree with you. Emitter base collector.
Huh.
It's the 2nd of January. It's 67 degrees outside in Mississippi at, what, almost 9:30 at night?
9:25.
But if you're up there north of us, I have seen this white stuff falling all over the ground up there. Now, we don't see it here much, but it is really cold.
It is. That's what I understand anyway. So y'all please keep it up there.
So unlike us, we're sitting here with short sleeve shirts on, and it's comfortable, and it's been nice weather today. Oh, yeah. Terry called us out there. It is the 3rd of January where he is. Excuse me. Oh,
yeah.
But I don't know if it's cold or not over there. It probably is a little chilly.
It doesn't ever get really cold.
Really?
I can't say never. It gets pretty cool, but not like frigid like Canada. Even though it is kind of north.
Yeah. 0 Celsius. So that's like 32 degrees. To us southerners, is cold. Anyway, where I was going is, just 32 degrees outside. You could wear a t-shirt, but you might want something a little heavier than that. Now, I know everybody's probably got a t-shirt of some sort. But that might not be suitable for this type of weather. This is a really bad lead-in, isn't it?
It is. I wasn't even quite sure where you were going until just now.
None of us were.
Oh, you're going to the shop.spreadshirt.com/amateur logic site.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's hoodies and sweatshirts, all kind of stuff on there, little jackets, you name it. Ham College and Amateur Logic stuff, although only the Amateur Logic stuff is showing, but there is Ham College swag on there as well.
There is.
Got the coffee cups to keep you warm on the inside.
Yep. Backpacks, hoodies.
All kinds of cool stuff.
Starting this month, we're going to have a class in between classes.
We got a lot of class. You never heard that before, have you?
Never.
Probably won't ever hear it again.
They never would have expected it. Yeah, we were talking earlier about how many questions we need to cover before the current technician pool expires.
Yeah.
We're going to have to double up. We doubled up this time. We had twice as many questions as we normally have. Even that wouldn't get us there. Current technician study guide expires June the 30th of 2026. Mm-hmm. So we recalibrated everything here, yeah. Especially the number of
George
questions.
George did some gazintas, figured out how many we were going to have to do.
So we're going to do twice as many questions every episode, and we're at least until June we're going to be doing 2 episodes every month, and that should get us there.
But the second episode might not always be on a Friday.
No, it might vary. And
actually, this first one is going to be on a Thursday, I think, isn't it?
It is going to be Thursday, January 22nd will be the next Ham College. That you can think of it as a bonus.
Yes.
Or you could think of it as a pop quiz. However you want to, we'll be here.
I'd call it a bonus because you get 2 shows for the price of one.
Well, they just got 2 shows for the price of one.
You're basically going to get 4 shows a month then worth of questions.
For the brave, yeah.
Wow.
So anyway, we're going to do 2 shows to catch up and get these technician questions out of the way.
Oh, I actually love doing these anyway.
I do.
They're fun, man.
They are.
I love it. It's fun. I learn something every one.
And a good review as well.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And we get to visit with our homies over there in the chat room. Mm-hmm. That's always fun.
Yep. So if you don't have anything to do, join us. Yep. Watch the social medias for the notices. We'll send them out like usual.
Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to it. It's going to be fun.
So join us back on Ham College January the 22nd, which is a Thursday. But we do another show, too. Yeah, Amateur Logic.
Could do Amateur Logic on the 16th, I guess.
Yep, Friday the 16th. So.
Then Ham College again on the 22nd.
Regardless, if you can't remember that the next one's going to be on the 22nd, there's a good way to figure that out and to be in the know on things that are going on.
Well, do tell, because I don't ever know myself. Oh. Go to the anti-social medias.
Yeah, you can go to our Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/HamCollege.
You follow us at Ham College on Twitter or at Amateur Logic.
Or X.
Yeah.
On X.
Yeah, it still says Twitter on the thing, though.
Or if you're in a state where it's not blocked, you can follow us or join? Our groups.io group. That's groups.io/G/AmateurLogic. We don't have a separate one for Ham College. We figure one's enough.
Even if it is blocked, if you're already a member, you'll still get the notifications.
Yeah. And that might change. I don't know. It's as different states are enacting different laws or rules for internet access to minors. I don't know why anyone would ever confuse me with a minor. It's probably the way I talk, huh? But, yeah. So there's that. If you wanted to know what we talked about in a particular episode, there's a good way to do that as well. That's our wiki, amateurlogic.tv/wiki. Our wiki master keeps that up to date with the latest. Yeah, that one.
Oh.
With the latest information. So you can go back and find where we talked about a particular topic if you want to review that. AmateurLogic.tv/wiki. I think that's going to do it for another class.
Yeah, that was fun. I've got something I want to kind of do some research on now. I'm going to do some research on the transistors, learn more about those.
I'm going to tell you a good place to look, just to kind of whet your appetite.
Okay.
You know those Forrest Mims books?
Yeah, I've got those. I bought that whole set from Radio Shack.
There's one in there on transistors.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, you'll know right where they are.
Build a lot of different things with just some little tiny three-legged devices.
Yeah, I've got some of those in that. Speaking of Radio Shack, those kits of parts we bought when they were going out of business.
Yeah.
Got some of those
were real common ones in there, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, you got a lot of stuff with that.
Awesome. I'm going to check it out.
Thanks for being here tonight, everyone. Do your research. Do your studying. If you're not already a ham, study up and find an exam session that's going to be before June the 30th of 2026. If you can't find an exam session in your area before that, you're probably okay. There'll only be a few questions that will change between the current pool and whatever pool comes out next.
Yeah, most likely. So, usually it's just a handful.
Yeah. So we'd encourage you, you don't have to be a kid. You don't have to be young. You don't have to be old. Although there are a lot of people now that are up in age. Their children are grown. They may still be working. They may be retired, but they always wanted to be a ham. It's not that difficult.
It's never too late.
No. You should look into it now. You find a club or a group in your area. If you can't, hey, you can join us right here. Join one of the social media groups we mentioned there earlier. There'd be people there who'd be glad to help you with any questions that you might have.
Including us. We're glad to help.
Yep. So with that, any final thoughts before we get out of here on January the 2nd, or the 3rd, over where Terry is?
Yeah. No. It's just, like I said, it was a really fun one tonight. I enjoyed these. I usually kind of worry about the electronic stuff, but I kind of got pretty interested in that.
It's good stuff, isn't it?
Yeah. Even though I'm an extra, and I've gone through this several times, I still learn something every time we go through it. I just don't do much with that. I knew it before, or at least I learned enough of it to pass my test. But anyway, it was very educational.
Yeah, cool. Me? I'll just say join us back here again on the 22nd and right here on this same channel for the next Amateur Logic.
On the 16th.
On the 16th. Have no idea what we'll be doing then.
So just like usual. Just right on target.
Yep. I have been on the air a little more lately on HF.
Yeah, cool.
I was in the past. So
I've been burning up the parks on the air stuff.
You have.
I've been enjoying that.
You've just been parked all over the place.
All over the air.
Yep. Hey, a lot of different things you can do with ham radio.
Yeah. So 73. We'll see you next time.
73.